And I'm going to read it to you because I think it's really funny. It says, you are clever enough today that you could spin such a good story, you might even believe it yourself. Needless to say, your struggle with discerning fact from fiction now could land you in a heap of trouble, especially if you convince others to follow you into fantasy land. So, that is real. So, right. The wish. Blue Boy's head was tilted back against the step as he stared up at the mustard sky. The sun must be bright today, Mama Sue had said, checking his mask and tucking a thick woolen blanket round his legs. How about an hour while we wait for Daddy John to get back? We'll see what he's found for us, eh? It was fine for Daddy John going out to look for supplies further afield every day, but for Blue Boy it was just another day of nothing much to do. Another day of being lifted up and put down, fed and washed. They should have left him to die. He could hear her behind him, sweeping out the cellar. Whish, swish, whish, swish. His heart beating slightly faster than her strokes. He moved his eyelashes up and down in time. Swish, 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 swish. Her strokes slowed, and then he was at one with them. And as he lay with his eyes swishing in time, the swishing changed slowly and steadily in his head to wishing. His whole body pulsing with the rhythm. Wish, 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 wish. If he had a wish, what would he ask for, he wondered. What he really wanted was for things to be the way they were before, for him to be able to run around and play and tell stories. But if he couldn't change things back, then perhaps he could just get them away from here. He knew they wanted to go. He'd heard them talking at night in whispers. They have a van and petrol stored since the disaster. But they were too frightened. They might not find anybody else, and in other places, the dust might even be worse. He was thinking carefully about his wish, not wanting to waste it, when he heard Mama Sue give a low whistle and an idea came into his head. He would wish for a pet, like the dog he used to have before. And no sooner had the words formed in his mind than there was a sudden thud. With a good deal of effort, he managed to turn his eyes a little bit to the right to see a bird sprawled in the dust. At first, he thought it was dead. Its head stuck out at right angles to its body. But then it raised its bill from the ground and shook itself, staggering onto webbed feet, one wing dragging behind. The wild duck spluttered and eyed Blue Boy with suspicion. Blue Boy grinned back from inside his head. The duck didn't like the cellar, and Daddy John didn't like the duck. What use is it? He asked when he got back. I suppose we could eat it. Blue Boy's heart fluttered. He rolled his eyes urgently, but no one was looking at him. Daddy John had hold of the duck's broken wing, bending it backwards and forwards. You're making it worse, Mama Sue called back as she disappeared into the back room. It didn't survive this long just to end up on our plates. That's a good point, Daddy John said, looking down on the duck. Why have you survived, eh? What do you know? You'd get a shock if it told you, Mama Sue said, coming back in, setting a box of tins down on the table. Daddy John laughed and the duck appeared to sense a reprieve. Dragging its broken wing, it shuffled over and settled on the floor by Blue Boy, leaning its beak on top of his toes. There was a bang from the shutter at the top of the wooden stairs. The wind's getting up, Daddy John said, reaching for the piece of rolled up carpet by the wall, the foot of the steps. There's some really thick stuff down by the lake that might come this way. Where's the staple gun? He dragged the carpet up the steps and fixed it into position over the shutters. Let Mama Sue do your chest, Mama Sue said, lifting Blue Boy forwards from his shoulders, resting him against her arm as she reached around his back and started to rub up and down with the flat of her hand. You're getting heavy, you are, she said, shifting her position. How old do you think Blue Boy is, John? Don't know. He looks about 8, but he's that poorly. He could be much more. You've done well with him, Daddy John said, looking down through the gloom. I'd have never thought he'd last a year. Blue Boy tried to look back up at him, but Mama Sue was holding him at the wrong angle. Do you think he knows? Blue Boy tried to speak. He drew in as much breath as he could into his shredded lungs, tried to get his mouth to form words, but he had no strength. He fell back onto Mama Sue's arm. Knows what? She said, fixing the mask back over his mouth and nose, brushing his hair back with her hand. How old he is? That everyone and everything is probably dead and gone? He's happy enough. Let's hope he doesn't know. No past and no future, Daddy John said. I could do with some of that. He came slowly down the stairs and dropped a kiss on top of Mama Sue's head. But as long as I have you, I'm okay. And then he bent down and stroked a finger over the top of the duck's beak. And if you need to have Blue Boy, and Blue Boy needs this damn duck, then that's okay too. Blue Boy lifted his eyes above the mask and looked right into Daddy John's. He felt his eyes prickle as he tried to show how he felt. But Daddy John just sighed and stood up, and Blue Boy fell forward against Mama Sue's arm again. The next morning, Blue Boy felt a scratch along the edge of his mask. He opened his eyes to find that the duck had got its beak caught in the side strap. Its head was twisted and it was gasping for air. Blue Boy tried to make a noise with his mouth, but all he could manage was a faint gurn. Looking down over his cheek, he could see the duck's neck was at a bad angle. He tried to move his head to the left to push his face into the pillow and give the duck more room, but it was too hard, and he started to wheeze. "What are you doing?" Mama Sue came from the gloom at the back of the cellar. "Blue Boy, are you all right?" She came over in a rush, tripping over the broom and landing on her knees beside his mattress. "That damn duck," she said, pulling it free and throwing it across the floor. Blue Boy winced in pain on its behalf. "Did it hurt you?" she said, slipping her finger between his mask and his face, checking his skin. Blue Boy felt a tear roll down from his eye. The duck had landed on its side, the injured wing underneath it. Mama Sue pressed her thumb under Blue Boy's eye to brush his tear aside, and then licked it from her thumb. "Waste not, want not," she said, in their usual ritual. But Blue Boy was fretting for the duck, and another tear followed. "You really care about that duck, don't you?" Mama Sue said, mostly to herself. Blue Boy concentrated really hard. He put all his strength into the back of his neck, managed to tilt his head back a fraction. Then he let it slip back down. Then he concentrated hard and lifted his head back up again. Mama Sue stared in amazement. "Did you just nod?" She stood up and ran to the table, returning with two tins. "Spam or corned beef?" she asked. Blue Boy looked back at her. "Sorry," she said. "How can we do this?" "I know. Look at the one you want." She held the two tins in her two hands, moving them apart. Blue Boy let his eyes follow the corned beef, and Mama Sue planted a kiss on his forehead. Everything changed. Blue Boy chose what he wanted to eat, what he wanted to do, where he wanted to sit, whether he wanted to be outside or in, and when he wanted a story. Two more carpets were brought down from above and fixed to the cellar ceiling, turning the big room into two smaller ones at night, one for Blue Boy and one for Mama Sue and Daddy John. And at the foot of Blue Boy's mattress, a shoebox lined in paper made a bed for Duck. Blue Boy would still be carried up the cellar steps when the air was not too clogged with dust, and Duck would go with him. Duck would run around and flap his wings and sometimes even try to fly a little way, and then return to lay his beak on Blue Boy's toes, as though loath to go without him. One afternoon, Daddy John came and sat by Blue Boy on the upstairs step. He looked up at the sky. "I swear it's clearing a bit, you know, son," he said, looking at the unchanged mustard haze. But Blue Boy's heart skipped to be called son. The next day, Daddy John brought him a book. "Pierre le Loup," he said. "My grandfather read this to me when I was about your age. Peter and the Wolf. There's a duck in it." Blue Boy loved the story and tried to picture the boy and the animals chasing each other through the forest. But then Daddy John got to the bit where the wolf ate the duck. "Sorry," he said, "I forgot. But that duck couldn't fly and ours can. He's a wild duck, so you should think of him as the bird in the story." So instead of the bird, Blue Boy pictured Duck flying around the forest, helping Peter catch the wolf. At the end of the story, Daddy John sat quietly for a minute or two, staring at the book. And then he looked around at the rows of empty houses with their overgrown gardens and ash-covered windows. He shook his head as though to rid himself of thoughts he could do without, and looked down into Blue Boy's eyes to ask, "Did you enjoy that, son?" And Blue Boy blinked twice for yes. And then, holding Daddy John's attention, and with great effort, he turned his eyes towards Duck. "What, do you think Duck enjoyed it too?" And then Daddy John laughed as he closed the book. The next day, Blue Boy pushed his eyes from right to left when Daddy John came up the stairs with another book. "Don't you want a story?" Daddy John asked, and Blue Boy blinked his eyes twice. "Well, do you or don't you?" he asked, and Blue Boy looked back, a plea in his eyes. "I don't know what he wants," Daddy John called down the cellar steps. "Ask him questions that he can say yes or no to," Mama Sue called back. Daddy John sat back on his heels, looking down at Blue Boy, and then at the book. Blue Boy squinted at the book, trying to read the title. A smile appeared on Daddy John's face. "Do you want to read for yourself?" And Blue Boy managed a nod. They propped the book up in front of him, and Daddy John turned the pages. Then Mama Sue had an idea. If we had alphabet cards, he could talk back to us. She made them out of small squares of cloth and painted on the letters. She'd lay them out in front of him and tap them with her finger until he blinked his eyes, and then she would write the letters down. The first thing he told them was his name. I can't start calling you Ben after all this time, she said, and he knew it didn't matter. He was Blue Boy now. After a while, Duck began to fly again, but he would only fly a little way and then come back and tug at Blue Boy's feet. Blue Boy would watch him flying and think about what might be possible. When he thought they were ready, he told them what he had worked out, pausing to put breaks in the words while Mama Sue tapped the cards and Daddy John wrote down the letters. You both want to leave, but you are scared to go. Daddy John said that Duck must know something to still be alive. Duck must have come from somewhere better. Daddy John laughed, but it was a harsh laugh. And how is Duck going to tell us, son? Do you think you can teach it the alphabet too? He carried on. We can follow him. He will help us, like the bird in Peter and the Wolf. He will take us to where the air is clearer. Daddy John looked back at him, and then at Mama Sue, and then at Duck. Blue Boy heard their hushed voices talking into the night, and the next morning there was a different atmosphere in the cellar. They took 2 days to pack. We need food and water, Mama Sue said. Yes, Daddy John replied, but we need petrol too. We don't know how far we're going. But if it's like here, we can get unused petrol on the way. So we can break into more shops for unsoiled food and water. But if there are other people, maybe they won't let us have anything. Do you want to find other people or not? There was a pause, then Mama Sue continued. We'll need clothes. We don't know where we're going. It might be hot. It might be cold. So we'll break into a fur shop. And she punched his arm and they laughed. On the third morning, they climbed into the loaded van. Blue Boy strapped in between them, his alphabet squares stuck in order across the bottom of the windscreen. The wipers were flicking back and forth in the rain. Duck was perched on the bonnet. What if he doesn't fly? Mama Sue said. Daddy John grimaced and beat the horn. Duck lifted momentarily from the bonnet and then looked back through the windscreen at Blue Boy. Blue Boy closed his eyes. The swishing of the windscreen wipers was sending him to sleep. His skin jerked against his mask as Daddy John rested his hand on the horn and let it blare out, forcing Blue Boy's eyes open again. Duck turned away from the windscreen and slowly swept his wings up and down in the rain. Swish, swish went the windscreen wipers, and swish, swish went the duck's wings, and then he lifted off and flew out into a sweeping arc. Daddy John bent his head round to see where he was going. North, he said, starting the engine. We're going north.